Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo on this Wednesday, July 8, 2020. Right now we have Joel Corey, former sports agent. He's an NFL contracts and salary cap expert and writer. You can read his work at CBSSports.com, and he's been on this show many times. We're glad to have him today. Joel, good morning. How are you?
No complaints on my end. How are you guys doing?
Doing just terrific. People very excited and happy in Kansas City with the Patrick Mahomes extension, and we couldn't wait to talk to you about it. And so now that we've seen some of the details, I'd like to hear your reaction to the contract extension that Patrick Mahomes signed.
Well, first, the enormity of the contract is what took me aback at first, because a 10-year deal, 10-year extension was not something that entered my mind as a realistic possibility. Something which was surprising was how it's structured from a security standpoint. That typically, if you sign a really long deal, and teams want you to sign the great players for as long as possible, that at some point the deal becomes a series of team options for the player, for the team, so that they have the flexibility to get out of the contract whenever they want. That's not the case in this contract, and I'll give you a point to a 1 year as an example of what happens in every year of the contract. That as you get in the later years of the contract, let's say Mahomes is 2027 year, he's got the bulk of his money or a significant part in an early March roster bonus, like third day of the league year roster bonus. In 2027, there's $49.4 million of the $59.5 million he's going to make that year in a third day of the league year roster bonus. But that's not what really protects him. It's the fact that that $49.4 million becomes fully guaranteed on the third day of the 2026 league year, 1 year in advance. And 2026 works the same way, where the big roster bonus becomes fully guaranteed in 2025, a year in advance. So he's protected in a way I haven't seen in a really long contract. So that's the feature that I like best about the contract for Mahomes.
Joel Corey is our guest here on Sports Radio 810. And Joel, you mentioned it's a unique feature in this contract. Who is this, a Brett Veach thing? Is this Patrick's agents?
Definitely an agent thing. The team would rather have the flexibility that if something happens where Mahomes gets injured or his skill diminishes for some reason, that they could just cut bait with him and have no cap consequences. Here you're going to have massive cap consequences if you decide to release Mahomes. So let's say they wanted to release him in 2027. They can't do it, because they'll take a $49.4 million cap hit to do it. So that kind of marries him to the team in a way I haven't seen in deals this long. First, you don't see deals as long anymore. They kind of fell by the wayside by the mid-2000s. By like 2004 or 5, they were done. But that's the thing which really struck me out of the deal more so than anything else.
Joel Corey is our guest. And Joel, you tweeted something that I wanted to follow up with you and ask about. You tweeted that one school of thought is Patrick Mahomes took all of the money in KC, so Chris Jones doesn't have a future with the Chiefs. Cost certainty with Mahomes might pave the way for a Jones long-term deal, though. And you said we'll see which one is right. So let's talk about that. How does this impact the Chiefs' ability to sign Chris Jones or anyone else to a long-term deal if that's what they want to do?
Well, for Chris Jones in particular, I probably should have posed a third alternative. But there's only 240 characters on one tweet, and I wasn't going to do a series of tweets, is that this has no bearing on Chris Jones, because Chris Jones is self-contained. He's been counting on the books ever since they tendered him as a franchise player, $16.126 million. Even though he hasn't signed the tender, it's a Chiefs cap charge. The big question is, do they want to pay him like DeForest Buckner and Frank Clark, basically $21 million per year on a multi-year deal where you can get a guarantee close to, if not $60 million or more, and have over $40 million fully guaranteed at signing? That's the big question, because the Chiefs typically on long-term deals, and it's been this way for quite some time, that they do deals where the first-year cap number is kind of low, and then the cap numbers start ballooning. If you do a long-term deal with Chris Jones, you create your own cap room out of the franchise tag number, and I'll give you an example of how that would work. Let's say you sign Chris Jones to a five-year deal, and let's say you give Chris Jones a $20 million signing bonus, and you drop he has a base salary of $1 million. $1 million plus the prorated amount of signing bonus, you can prorate for 5 years. So that's $4 million in signing bonus proration plus $1 million base salary. It's a $5 million cap hit for 2020. You pick up $11 million and some change on the cap just by doing a long-term deal with Chris Jones working within his own franchise tender. So from a cap standpoint, this deal doesn't really affect Chris Jones. Now, it may from a cash standpoint, because the cash flow in Mahomes' deal is, frankly, very low in the first couple of years. So that's where Mahomes may impact a Chris Jones deal, that you could give Chris Jones more cash because Mahomes' cash flow, just I was shocked at what the cash flow is. It's not something I ever contemplated in this deal.
Because that cash flow is, they didn't do anything with the 2 years that were already here, right? This extension is afterwards. So it's still reasonably cheap these first few years on that cash side for Mahomes. But one of the things, Joel, I wanted to ask about, when we heard several times yesterday with Brett Veach that, you know, Patrick's agents, you know, were working for Patrick. I mean, Patrick wanted to get this done. He wanted to get a long-term deal. And that's the human side of this, I guess, that we don't always No, because we always look at the dollars and cents and what a guaranteed mechanism is and all that. But if the player wants to be on a team and the team wants you to be on the team, there's probably a way to get that figured out. We don't really, I think Chris Jones wants to be on the team. That's what I think. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be? But how much is he driven by wanting to make the same money he sees these other guys who he feels he's just as good as playing there? I mean, what's that kind of dynamic with the agent to try to figure out exactly what everybody wants and not have it get contentious? Because that's one of the things that didn't happen with Mahomes. It was just kind of hunky-dory the whole way through.
Well, there's usually some acrimony in contract negotiations. And I'll say this about Chris Jones. If Chris Jones was going to take a discount and take Grady Jarrett money, he'd have been signed last year. That's $17 million per year. But that's not going to happen. Now, as an agent, you work for your client, not the other way around. It may seem like that. Now, if your client is the one who, he's the engine driving the train, it's your job to explain the pros and cons of what he wants to accomplish. And if you aren't really on board with what he wants to do, you're going to explain it in a way which will get him to think twice, but ultimately you take your marching orders from him. I guarantee you that I haven't spoken to Don Yee in years, but I guarantee you Don Yee was not the one who was the engine driving the train on the Tom Brady start taking a hometown discount around 2013 and 14. Don Yee doesn't want to have that associated with him. And we saw that with Jimmy Garoppolo, who he also represents, he made Garoppolo the highest paid player in the league. That wasn't a hometown discount deal. So it's typically when something like that happens, it's not agent-driven. That's player-driven.
Todd Lebo mentioned guarantee mechanisms. That's a term we haven't heard too often with contracts, and we've had people ask us, well, what the hell is that? Explain the guarantee mechanisms that we've heard about.
Well, that's what I was kind of explaining earlier. It's a new term of art, which it already exists in contracts, because typically what you have is later years of contracts, and most contracts aren't really this long, where there's an injury guarantee, and then still in salary cap guarantee kicking at a later date. That's in a lot of contracts. Now, as you keep going in this contract, it's not money that's injury guaranteed, and then the skill and cap guarantee kick in. It's the fact that with the roster bonuses, that they become guaranteed, but they become guaranteed in advance, a year early in advance as you get later in the deal. And that's in every year of the deal, starting in 2026. That the 2025-2026 roster bonus becomes guaranteed in 2025. And then there's a decreasing amount of the amount of money in the roster bonuses, like in early, like 2026, 27, 28, you have like 60, 70, almost 80% of the money in the yearly compensation in a year in roster bonuses. And it almost flips by the last year. But that's what's meant by the guarantee mechanism. But it's a new term of art, but the concept is not unfamiliar. In Tom Brady's 2010 extension, the last couple of years had guarantees which vested before that year came up, not the March date. But if he was on the roster the last day of the previous regular season, then the guarantee kicked in for the next year. And that's one of the only times I've seen that in a contract. So they kind of borrowed the concept from Tom Brady's 2010 extension, which did make him the highest paid player in the league, and took it to a whole other extreme.
Joel Corey, former sports agent, is our guest here on Sports Radio 810. And one of the things that I've been thinking about for a couple of days on this, and you can tell me because you'll understand this a lot more if it's even something that would be possible. It's a 10-year deal, and we're in the middle of a pandemic, and we think there's going to be football this year, but we don't know. I don't know if there'll be fans. I mean, there's going to be a lot of financial issues happening in sports for a while from this. Is there anything in this contract that has... You know, is there insurance for pandemic stuff, or is that something that would have to be done in a standard clause in all league contracts? Do you think we're going to get to the point where some of those things would be involved in any of these contracts for big ones like this?
No, there's no special pandemic clause, and that would create a whole other layer of making negotiation more complicated, because one of the things that's been complicated in rookie contracts is the whole aspect of taking a physical, and the signing bonus is predicated on being able to pass a physical. And the teams have been insisting that physicals be done at the team facility, which haven't been open for the most part. So that's one of the reasons you have a lot of rookie signings. But what you're gonna see now is that the owners are asking for the players to put a significant amount of money in escrow. And the players are balking. League revenues are most likely going to drop. Just first, you're getting rid of 2 preseason games. And you're probably going to have, at best, 50% capacity, most likely a lot of empty stadiums. So that's another revenue drop. But I have a hard time thinking that the cap is going to drop precipitously next year, because we already have a long collective bargaining agreement. And the union and NFLPA will probably negotiate to try to keep the 2021 cap as close to where it is right now or a minor decrease, and spread those losses out over the next couple of years, which would mean that once you have the infusion of the new money from the TV deals, the jump isn't going to be as dramatic as it would be otherwise, because you're going to have to make up for spreading those losses out over multiple years as opposed to taking it in one big year. Because there's some teams, because teams plan for in 3-year snapshots. Nobody planned for a pandemic. So you would have a massive amount of players released if the cap dropped a significant amount next year, and I don't think anyone really wants to see that happen.
There were quite a few people, Joel, that expected that Patrick Mahomes in this new extension, his compensation to be tied to a percentage of the salary cap. Were you surprised at all that it's not?
No, I've always thought that was going to be very tough to do because teams are extremely resistant of setting some sort of new precedent which fundamentally changes how contracts are done. Nobody wants to be the one that. It's been tried before and it's failed. Aaron Rodgers was reportedly 2 years ago trying to get that, and that's why his part of the reason why it dragged on so long to get his extension done. Russell Wilson tried it, got nowhere with it. I thought if there was going to be a player to do it, Mahomes had the best shot. But I think if it's going to happen, it's going to be in the same manner. We got a fully guaranteed contract for a veteran player from Kirk Cousins. You're going to have to, as a quarterback, go through multiple franchise tags, hit the open market, and have multiple suitors. And then at that point, you might be able to get some sort of percentage of the cap mechanism for the later years of your contract. Otherwise, I don't see it happen.
Joel Corey is our guest here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, talking about this contract and with Patrick Mahomes and all the things that are going along with it. Now, you mentioned some of the preseason games, and the NFLPA is, you're starting to see some stuff that maybe this is not going to be hunky-dory, right, between the owners and the players, and putting this money in escrow. Where do you think this is going to end up as far as the... We saw what happened in baseball. I mean, the players weren't going to go down easy on this, and they had already made an agreement kind of before the season started, and there was a fight about that. Are NFL players at this point, what we saw the last couple of days from people talking on Twitter and different social media things, is they're not down for putting money in escrow and taking, not getting the cash that they feel that they deserve. Are we heading towards something like we had in baseball, where there's a labor issue in addition to, you know, the COVID issue as well?
Yeah, same dynamics, different sport, and people, at least the public, doesn't like to quote unquote see how the sausage is made, and you're probably going to see that happen again with football. We haven't really seen that in basketball, and part of that is for a much longer time, the approach has been by the league, at least with Adam Silver, that it's a more of a partnership. They accept it. It's a partnership more so than other sports do, and they try to work together for a common goal. You haven't seen the same type of infighting, or not necessarily infighting, but dynamics that you've had in baseball with the NBA. And I suspect football is going to be more like baseball than what we've seen with the NBA.
Joel Corey is our guest. Joel, before we let you go, there have been several people, including Lewis Riddick, who's been pretty outspoken and resisting the idea that once the Chiefs start paying Patrick Mahomes like an elite quarterback in this deal, that will prevent them from being able to put enough talent around him to keep winning championships. How do you feel about that idea? Because that's been a pretty interesting debate after this contract was announced.
I mean, I don't subscribe really to the view that once you have that quarterback on a huge contract that it's impossible to be a championship-caliber team. One, you got basically half your roster that's extremely cheap because they're on rookie contracts or veteran salary benefit contracts, so they're making next to nothing. So basically, you only have to worry about having to build half a roster. And one, you got to draft well, and you can't sign the wrong veteran to a huge contract and not have a way to get out of it much cap pain. But one thing that the way this contract is structured with the huge roster bonuses and length of the contract, any time the Chiefs want to push off cap obligations until tomorrow, they're going to come to Patrick Mahomes because some of these roster bonuses are 30, 35, 40 million, upwards to 50 million. At some point, they're going to start converting roster bonuses into signing bonus. They have an automatic right to convert money in the contract, discretionary right to do it. So I expect that to happen at some point, with them thinking that this isn't going to be a Tony Romo situation where restructure a couple of times, there's some injury, and then he's going to retire, and we're going to have a huge cap hit because we've done all these restructurings. So, yeah, you can always create your own cap room, and that's a way for the Chiefs to do it, and Mahomes' contract is the most likely source for them to go to.
Joel Corey's been our guest. Joel, I read in your bio that you were the primary negotiator for the Patrick Surtain contract, 6 years, $44.63 million. back in 2005 with the Chiefs, which at that time made him the highest-paid player in franchise history.
And we're a long way from that. The money's gone up exponentially since then.
So, hey, you know what? You were on the board at one time, though, but Mahomes has eclipsed that. But that was I enjoyed seeing that because I remember how excited I was. I thought that was the missing piece for the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. But
and now Pat Sertan's kid is going to be in the pros in a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now we all just got old, didn't we?
Yes, I'll give you one thing before I go on that deal. That we had the deal for the contract worked out before the Chiefs and Dolphins had worked out their trade compensation.
Mm.
I like that.
You'll sign
and
trade.
It was a very big day for the Chiefs, I thought. Joel, hey, thank you very much for the time, man, and all the great information. You're always awesome when you come on the show. We appreciate you coming on with us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
That is Joel Corey, former NFL agent. You can read his work at CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, Corey Joel. CORRYJOEL is his handle. Back after this on WHB.